gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight. As we stand on our neighborhood corner, know that this fire that's burning represents the passion you have. Listen. I recognize all of you. Every creed and color. With that being said,
we had.
Say what?
Now beat that.
Oh yeah!
Now what we want you all to do is sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. And if you dig it, let me hear your finger snap, y'all.
Now before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Okay, I'll reload it.
From the sports bars to the stands, we are the voice of the fans. You are now plugged in to your sports mixtape. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house, and we are presenting to you the Ball Street Journal, and we are your Ball Street Journal reporters. D, Ron, Trey, and myself, Floyd. Fellas, how you doing?
Doing absolutely fantastic, as always. Really looking forward to this Section 357 show. Really looking forward to taking the NFL to task in terms of their quest for diminishing returns. But before we even get into that, let me toss it over to one of the best co-hosts in the business, Mr. Ronnie. How you doing?
Yeah, D, we're going to talk about is too much of a good thing a bad thing, and that is the NFL and their move to pretty much conquer the world of sports and your attention. And speaking of someone who always has our attention, somewhere out there in the desert between Palmdale and Palm Springs, it's L.A. Trey. Trey, what's going on?
What is going on, my brothers? Once again, here we are, chopping it up with all things sports, awesome football, basketball, you name it. We're on it, and we bring it to you. Let's get this thing started.
You can always find us on Twitter at Section 357. You can also subscribe to and download the show on Podomatic, on Stitcher, as well as on iTunes by doing a simple search for Section 357. And Ron and D and Trey, we talk about sometimes less being more. And as it relates to the NFL, is more now becoming less in a crazy way if you look at their coverage. So, D, you talked about this offline, and Ron, you mentioned it as well, how the NFL has essentially taken over. They've taken over our scheduling. They've taken over our sports consciousness. And at some point, you have to ask yourself, is this a good thing, and is it too much? Big shot, Ron. What do you say about that?
Well, just to kind of put some context behind the scenes, the NFL had a full album release party for its schedule across their own network, ESPN. They've moved the draft. Traditionally, it's been second, third week of April. They've moved it into Mother's Day weekend. There's talk of moving the draft to having 4 days next year. They've got a game every Thursday night. They talked about moving free agency. But basically what they're doing is they're going to give you something major once a month up until training camp. They've talked of expanding the playoffs. ESPN will now have a playoff game in 2015, which I'm pretty sure will accompany this expanded playoff format when it goes. So, fellas, we all enjoy the NFL, but are we really getting to that point of oversaturation? Floyd, where are we at with the NFL? Is this thing going off the rails?
Ron, you said a very important word there, which is oversaturation. I'm not saying that the NFL is at that point, but you have to start to think about, can they really attract more new fans or fans that they haven't already gotten some, I guess, part of their wallet, part of their mind share, or even just how they consider their sports viewing. And I think that we might be at that point. Most sports try to grow globally. Talk about the NBA trying to expand all around the world. The NFL is still primarily a U.S.-based sport. So I'm not sure how all of this extra coverage, how all of this extra, I guess, in-your-face promotion, I'm not sure how far that really goes when it comes to growing the game, because most of the folks who are going to watch are already going to watch regardless of all of the added coverage. So I'm not really sure if we're at that point of oversaturation, but I think we might be close. Dean, Trey, what do you guys have to say about that?
I'm not sure if oversaturation is, if we're even close to that just yet. The market for young viewers is still insanely ready to be exploited. We've got this Twitter generation. It's the social networking generation. I don't think the NFL is more concerned about people over the age of 40 anymore. I think their two major concerns are, one, women. That's one of the main ones. And then, two, these young kids. A big example is what they did with the new Xbox, the Xbox One that just came out. One of the main commercials that they pushed was the fact that you can do one of two things. You can check your fantasy football stats through one of the little dashboard screens on the Xbox One, and you could just keep up with the NFL in general. That market and having that arrangement with the NFL and then using that as one of the main platforms to sell a video game system speaks volumes about who they're trying to target, So I think that we're actually going to see it a lot more, because that younger generation, that generation of people under the age of 21 are in a hyper information age, and they need more. It's like it's like feeding like a caterpillar before it turns into a butterfly. It just has to eat and eat and eat until it can grow into a full fledged viable member of the NFL community. So until they can get done cramming all of this information into these youngsters' heads, we're going to see a lot more of it. This 24-hour news cycle / sports cycle / social network cycle is a beast that has an infinite appetite.
T, I agree with you. I fully agree with you. We talked about this offline. You will watch. If you're a fan of the NFL and fans just in general of the NFL, they're going to watch. ESPN and the NFL Network did that hour-long special when the schedule was released. And guess what? People watched. The draft, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, it doesn't matter what it is. People will tune in. I remember back when the draft was just 2 days long. I mean, I blocked out that time on my schedule. Now that it's 3 days long, I blocked out that time on my schedule. Even with it kind of conflicting with Mother's Day, I blocked out that time on my schedule. Push it up for 4 days. As much as I'm going to complain, I'm going to watch, you're going to watch. They're going to get ratings. They're going to get marketing numbers. You know, they're going to get advertisers trying to buy this time. People will watch. They know that they're on top right now, and they're going to force it. Pick a game in London, started at 9:30 in the morning Eastern time. People are going to watch. Floyd, are you telling me you're not going to wake up early to watch that Falcons game in London?
Yeah, I think you bring up a very important distinction, and that there's game action, and then there's all of this other auxiliary stuff. Yes, I will watch the Falcons play a game in London early in the morning, but do I have to watch all the other aspects, whether it be the combine, whether it be the draft, the fourth day of the draft, or even the fifth day, they expanded that 5 years down the line, or even when it came to the scheduled release show? I don't have to watch all of that in order to keep up with it, and I think that's the big distinction. There's so much about the NFL in terms of what they're putting out there that has nothing to do with actual game action. so I can actually keep up with it without actually watching it. I don't have to keep up with every waking moment of the NFL schedule release when they already tell people when the schedule comes out months ahead of time who you're playing and, you know, I guess home and away and all of that stuff. So it's really just a lot of promotion that for a regular fan like myself, a fan of the actual games, I don't have to tune into it because I don't have to. It doesn't really affect me. And to be honest, I feel like everything that has nothing to do with the actual gameplay is content that I can just catch up with later on. Just tell me the facts. And so you talk about the social media world trend that we live in. So much of what takes place outside of the game, I can keep up with that via Twitter, via Facebook, via a blog. So while the NFL feels the need to promote it heavily, obviously, it's still an aspect of the league that has nothing to do with the games. And for me, the games are still number one. Everything else outside of that is just secondary. Big Shot Ron, how you feel about that?
I guess the issue I have with similar to you all is, I think this really goes more towards the NFL fan base itself, because as Dee pointed out, there's clearly a demand for this, that they would do this. But I think, to me, this also steps to the party NFL being greedy. We are big man on campus, so we're going to impede on every other sport. So the move of the draft, that steps right into the beginning of the second round of the NBA playoffs. Whatever. Don't care about that. We're going to move free agency probably next year. We're going to probably move that right into the NCAA tournament. Whatever. Don't care about that either. So I just think, to me, that the NFL saying we are big men on campus, we are king around here, and to have your attention 24/7. But I guess the question is, and Trey talked about the information overload for the younger audience, what does this do for them as far as growth of the game by having all these auxiliary events? Now, the Thursday night schedule, the expanded playoff schedule, the game action piece, I get that part. Even though I don't agree with it, I get that part. But, Trey, what do you think having things like the schedule release, draft, all that, expanded all over the calendar, what do you think that actually does for your audience, having those auxiliary things being so pumped up and so promoted? How does that help?
It's a very good question, Ryan, and I think I might have a semi-answer for it. I think there's two big things that the NFL are banking a lot of their money on. One is fantasy football. Fantasy football, in my personal opinion, I don't have the stats to base it, but I can only base it off the surrounding, my environment, and what I've seen and how I've seen people react to it. I've seen more people enjoy the sport of football more because of fantasy football than I have because of any other reason. There's just something about owning your own private team and keeping up with your own players. And when you do that, you become invested in more than just the team as a whole, but as on the individuals. And then the new thing is like Legacy League, where you keep old players and bring them back for the next season. But even before we go into the depths of that, you want to know what's going on at all possible times with people who could potentially help make you money, because people bet a lot of money with fantasy football. So now we're bringing in a betting element into the NFL. And if you're betting your hard-earned money in order to beat out your friends or coworkers or whatever it is, you need and must have the most up-to-date information. Back in the days in the 70s and 80s, I remember watching the movie Casino, and one of the main things from one of the main stars of Casino was that he was a bookie. And everything and all the other bookies, like, pretty much sat by and waited for him to come up with these big decisions on how these outcomes and games are going to come. He knew everything from what kind of shoe the kicker wore to who the quarterback was sleeping with the night before. But with the advent of the internet, we don't need those kind of guys anymore, because we can just go to our favorite websites. But we have to update that information all the time. The second thing is the NFL Network. The NFL has invested in a station that is finding a lot of success, but the only way you can keep success is to have and to generate content. Hence them spreading out the amount of time that the draft may be, or releasing schedules. You have to have something that's always buzzing and keeping people on their toes. hell, even amongst us in the crew, there's kind of like this unwritten rivalry between all of us of who can break the news the fastest. You know, I mean, D is probably one of the fastest people I know. He stays on it. And whether he may want to admit it or not, there is kind of like a sport to it. And the NFL feeds on that addiction. So between fantasy football, keeping up with the network, and being the first to break the news, it keeps all of us addicted. And then and also they themselves are also addicted to their own product because they have to compete and feed all of this information to other news outlets and blogging sites and other websites and podcasts such as ourselves. So we're all feeding for information, and they're just supplying it to us.
First off, thank you very much for the props. I have to say, I am fast in all aspects of my life. Unfortunately, sometimes I'm fast in too many aspects of my life. But I will say this. As you mentioned, it's all about the NFL dominating from start to finish. So if the NFL can be the top story above the fold, leading ESPN for even their offseason, then that's good for them. The NFL always wants to be that story. They always want to be front page of ESPN. And as you said, I think as Ronnie said, they don't care about postseason basketball. They don't care about early season baseball. Shoot, they don't care about postseason baseball. The NFL is constantly saying that they are the top dog and they will always get the viewership. So what's wrong with that? If the NFL knows that you're going to tune in to watch a schedule release despite the NBA playoffs, despite the NHL playoffs, what's wrong with them making a primetime special of it? If the NFL knows that you're going to watch a game at 9 o'clock, then what's wrong with them putting on a game at 9 o'clock? If the NFL knows that you're going to watch the draft for 6 days of the week as they only have, you know, half of the first round one day and spend an hour on each special, what's wrong with them doing that, Floyd? People will tune in. Floyd, you may not tune in, but people will watch. They will get the revenue. What is wrong with them milking it while they have it?
Well, D, I think you bring up a very important element about people watching and having something to put out there for the people to watch, because I'm curious about whether this really is an issue with the NFL or whether it's really an issue as it relates to ESPN being a TV partner of the NFL, or really any of the TV networks being a TV partner of the NFL. Because for any of these 24-hour networks, whether it's Fox, whether it's NBC, whether it's ESPN, 24 hours of programming is a lot of programming to fill. And when you don't have the live game action for that particular night, whether it's the NBA playoffs, whether it's MLB, whether it's EPL, or whatever the case may be, you have to put on something. And so in many cases, I'm wondering if the suits at any network say, well, we don't have this live game action, so let's try to put on the most attractive option, even if it's kind of over-promoting the league or the NFL or really any entity. Let's put that on as direct competition. And while I'm not going to watch, because it's just not important to me to watch the fourth day of the combine or whatever the case may be, I'm not going to watch. Someone may watch. But to your point, D, about people watching, I'm very curious to see what those numbers are for those shows, because yes, someone is going to watch, but how many people are really watching? And I think that the NFL sometimes says, well, putting on this show, whether it be the NFL schedule release show, sure, even if the content gets leaked out via some team's websites, some folks may watch, and maybe that small number is better than whatever they would have gotten beforehand, whether it be a rerun of, let's say, SportsCenter or some other programming that no one really wants to watch. So I think that it's easy to assume that people are going to watch, yes, but I'm still not convinced that a lot of people are watching, especially when it's content and information that we can get after the fact that has no bearing on that immediate game time action, like watching games.
Now, fellas, I want to hit the point of actual game action. Floyd, this was a point that you made earlier. The 18-game schedule has been talked about for a couple years. ESPN will get a playoff game in 2015, and I'm pretty much sure this is going to lead into expanded playoffs. The concussions, lawsuits, players' health has been a big issue. So we talk about the actual game. What is to stop the NFL, fellas? Maybe for not necessarily the 18-game schedule and expanded playoffs, but where the actual season itself becomes longer and you go to an almost European football-style calendar where your season now goes from 4 months to actually six. Because to me, if you're expanding all this coverage, you're expanding all of this, we get down to game content, where's to stop the schedule from actually growing to 18, 20 games? Trey, what do you think? As you talked about, still content, still programming. They've already added games during the week. There was even talk, I think, at one point of possibly a Friday night game at one point. So how far are we, I guess, I say all that to say, from the true schedule expansion, playoff expansion, and this season just gets 18, 20 games out? How close are you think you are to that?
I'm pretty certain that we're going to be very close to them expanding the playoffs. They'll probably, I don't know, I'll just throw something out there, that they'll probably add some additional teams or change the I think when they do add something, it will be something to extend the playoffs. I think the end game for the NFL, from the writing on the wall, is that they're going to have to come up with some other type of league, because the human body can only take that type of punishment before so long, before you reach a point where it's like, we just can't do any more games without guaranteeing the fact that somebody else is going to get hurt as a result of it. So the best workaround is just to create another league, hence us having all of these games overseas in London. The NFL is trying to expand its brand and let the world know that there's something else out there besides soccer. And I think eventually, as this popularity is spreading due to the global socialization of the internet, we are going to see some type of additional type of league in order to keep football a year-round event. So that would be my hypothesis, that the playoffs are definitely going to expand, and then we're going to see some other form of the NFL probably within the next 5 to 10 years.
Trey, to sort of rebut that point, haven't we already seen other attempts at a world league when it comes to the NFL? They've tried the expansion to Europe before, and it has not worked, because that fan base, as we interpret it now, appreciates the novelty of the NFL when it comes there, you know, for the special games. But as a league, they have not shown the willingness to support that league as if they're supporting their soccer over there. So I see where you're going with that, but I'm just not sure if this attempt at expansion, as you're talking about it, will be any more successful than any of the prior attempts. But as it relates to the expanded playoffs, I believe that's a roundabout way of getting to an expanded regular season, just to increase the barrier for teams to make it to the playoffs. So if you have more playoff teams, but also those teams having to go through a longer gauntlet to get there, I believe that's what more fans will be up for. We already have 20 games in terms of regular season as well as preseason. They could tinker with that, go to 18 regular season games, 2 preseason games, or at some point, how about have no preseason games and just have extended practices and then go right into playing 20 games. So I think there's some room, and we'll probably get there incrementally, but I do feel like there has to be some changes made just to continue to expand this league in ways that are more profitable for the league.
Floyd, you touched on my point exactly. Floyd, obviously, as I said, you touched on my point. You've got an MBA. Ronnie, you've got an MBA. JQ, who's not on the show today, he's got an MBA. Y'all understand, we have the knowledge on this show that for the NFL as a league, even if it is on top, it is on top, it cannot just stay on top and hope to just stay there. It's got to keep continuing to expand. So, yes, they're looking at expanding into Europe, but that market is a bit, you know, curious, but they know that they have the American market. So why not expand to it? why not have, you know, big things going on in the off season between the schedule release, between draft? Why not? I mean, shoot, expand the postseason. I mean, we're talking about expanding the regular season. We're talking about expanding the playoffs. Those are all expansion. Those are all added revenue. We're paying money for the preseason. Why not expand that too? So, you know, it's interesting. My daughter was actually born in late February, and right now I can enjoy the fact that I don't have to worry about the NFL postseason interfering with her birthday. But if the NFL keeps expanding, it could happen, and why shouldn't the NFL keep expanding? Yeah, sure, they should expand internationally. I hope that they do. It'd be great to see not necessarily a team in London, but, hey, that's extra revenue. But, you know, people in London and Europe watching the game, watching NFL games the same way we watch British Premier League football. Why can't that happen? Why can't the season be longer? Why can't the preseason be longer? Why can't the postseason be longer? It's all about adding extra revenue. What's wrong with putting more money in the pockets of the NFL between their teams and their owners and the NFL and their players?
Here's what's wrong with that. If we're going to do all of that, then if I'm the president of the Players Association, we go to the negotiating table immediately, and we got guaranteed contracts for everybody. We got full health benefits for everybody. Because if you want me to fly to play this physical game that we play and be in Los Angeles and London and Sydney and Tokyo and Chicago, and you want me to do this 22 times a year, then you have to come out of pocket for those benefits. That salary is going to be guaranteed. There is going to be, we're not doing the whole signing bonuses. Every dollar of every contract signed this league is guaranteed. And that is something you as an owner have not shown a willingness to do. And I think that's what's going to stop it, because that's going to be the cost that the NFL, because we know the NFL will want to save a dollar on this by doing all this. Are you willing to guarantee every dollar of every player contract in this league?
Well, I look at it, I'm looking at all of the preemptive strategies that the NFL is doing. The first one with all the concussion cases and making the NFL just in general a lot safer. And they're also increasing the flash. So increasing, the people have a very short attention span. The defensive games are considered very boring to a lot of people. So they're appeasing a generation of shorter attention spans by increasing the offense. They're also protecting their players overall in the long run by making the game a lot safer. If you do that, then therefore you can increase the length of the game and not risk as much injury to your players, and also reduce the amount of lawsuits that you would receive in the future. Also, another big preemptive idea that the NFL is doing is continuing to play in London. They're not going to spend that kind of money to move a team over there just to be like, hey, here's the NFL. We just brought this over for your sheer entertainment, and not expect some type of investment in the future. The thing about the World League is, last time I watched the World League game, goodness, it must have been about 15 years ago. Now, think about how much social networking has changed the world, and think about the age of the average 20-year-old person who's probably their ideal candidate, 20, 21 years old, just old enough to drink, make decisions, and watch football. That means they were about 5 years old the last time I watched a World League game. So the perception of their viewing audience they're trying to gather is a lot different than it was 15 years ago, and it may be a lot more easier to convince to watch other sports that fall outside of what's going across the pond. So I don't think they've given up on their strategy of being a global dominating type of event, because there's even talks of the Olympics entertaining the possibility of football, probably not within, I think the last review that I read, the website that I read about it, was like in another 8 to 12 years of them bringing up that possibility. Now, if they're talking about that on the Olympic stage, then that means there is the possibility that it can't be accepted globally.
Trey, I think that talking about it and actually putting things in place, or even having things in place to make it happen, is still very, very far off. Because in order to have a sport that can be played at the Olympic level, the smaller countries have to be able to play that sport at some level, some baseline level. So with all of the previous failures of international expansions of the NFL product, I'm not saying that the current iterations of that can't work, I guess, in a better capacity than they have before. I'm just considering the size of those countries, the resources that they've committed to the one sport that matters to them right now, and what their capacity is for other sports, given that they already have a much bigger stake in rugby as well as cricket. I'm just not sure how much American-style football can expand in those markets to make it an Olympic-style sport. I'm not saying that it can't happen. I'm just looking at it economically and what those fan bases, from what we know about them now, have the ability to sustain, even despite the, you know, increasing social networking that we have that gets people more aware of what's going on around the world. I'm just saying that right now, I just don't see that. I'm not saying that they're ever going to stop going to London because, you know, it's a cash cow. But they've tried it before. I'm just not certain how far it can expand beyond just a gimmick that continues to bring in lots of dollars. All that being said, though, I am a big fan of expanding the calendar. And I think that if they can expand the calendar with game action, then it would help take some of the fluff and the flash out of all the other things that happen around the NFL schedule. Let's say you go from 16 to 18 games to 20 games to even 30 games. If you expand that across the actual calendar that we have, I think there's room to grow there. But I think that you have to do some tweaking, as Big Chiron said, around not only the payments and guaranteed contracts, but also the health of the players and how you ease them into that physical activity around the clock, I guess, around the calendar. But I think that the NFL, maybe beyond our lifetime, will eventually get to a schedule that's closer to how they do soccer overseas, where you might play 30 games over a longer stretch of the calendar year.
So that's my thing, Floyd. I'm glad that you brought that up. That's my thing. What is preventing the NFL from copying the model of the British Premier League? Yes, the BPL, they play some friendlies over here in the States. Yes, you know, you have Chelsea, you have Man City, you have Man United coming over here to play some fun games in the States. But in the end, the British Premier League, the English Premier League, is played in England, and people in the United States watch. So why must the NFL expand by having games taking place over in England, in London? Why must they have that if they've got this great product? Why can they not continue having this great product, make the product greater in the States, and then broadcast it overseas? And let me go back. The timing of it is, for the most part, pretty good. You have your noon games, your 1 o'clock games that happen Eastern time. Guess the late English time. Maybe the NFL should push some games earlier. Maybe there should be some 10 o'clock Eastern time games. What's wrong with that? You know, how can they do that to account for the time change and still have games played in the States? You have the States logistics, but then be able to broadcast it internationally.
Oh, I agree with you. I think that there's more opportunity there to gain more revenue by having those international television broadcasting rights than there is in trying to build an expanded league presence in the form of a team elsewhere. So with your scheduling and how you position things, they can go talk to the folks over at the BBC or at Sky Sports or whatever the case may be and actually work on expanding the reach of the broadcast to a larger audience, and then that opens up more revenue for the league as far as advertisers and everything else. So I think that the London game, and maybe they even go to a game in Germany. You never know where they might go. I think that having these games just helps to maintain a presence to be able to push the main product, not necessarily to set up another attempt at a global league. However, as Trey mentioned, you know, that still might be on the table. So with that being said, let's take a music break. And then when we come back, we'll give some final thoughts on the behemoth that is the NFL and its reach into our global sports culture. Sit tight. We'll be right back. here on the Section 357 show.
All right, eyes and ears up here for a second, everybody. Just a few things I need to go over before I take you up for an awesome hang gliding experience, all right? Okay, first of all, welcome to the Stay High Fly Guy Hang Glide Academy of the Greater District of Columbia, Maryland, Virginia Institute of Wind Harnessing Technologies of Americanness. All right, I am the founder and owner, Royce McCutcheon. All right, a few things about myself. I'm 42 years old. My left knee is 12 years old. That's right, I shattered it in a hang gliding accident. All right, doctor wanted to use stainless steel. I said, you know what? Why don't you rebuild my knee out of a gun and throw a little shark cartilage in there just to punch it up? That's right. I'm the only person in this room that's half shark. Also, I started this academy with my settlement money from a lawsuit. Can't really go into details about it, but I will say I was not the father, okay? And I got every cent back. Now, when we get out there, I need everybody's eyes and ears on me at all time, okay? No distractions. If you have a song in your heart, you better quiet that shit down, all right? No Twittering, no Facebooking, because if you don't pay attention while we're hang gliding, the only book that your face will be in will be the death book, all right? And don't be intimidated by my awesomeness. I've been hang gliding for a very long time. I am, for hang gliding, what Morgan Freeman's vocal cords are for voiceover work. Now let's go have a fucking great time.
Through the corridors, the most stylish orator. I'll be there in an hour or less. Brass knuckles, por favor. Body in any situation that you ever even got me in. Cauliflower ears, magical Alibaba, the legendary years. Sky blue, Malibu, slacks on the pier. And where we go from here is up to us. The greatest dream I ever dreamt, we believe in us. Money well spent, empires where I invent. Address me as sire, as we aspire for even more. Swimming trunks is proper attire. Vintage Nike dunks, closets to treasure hunt. Daily deposits in my bank account. My money making out, we producing more money.
Yeah, check me out. Yeah. Me, Merz, and Tabby popping like Reefer and Cali. If she's a keeper, I'm bagging. If she's a leecher, I'm passing. I met her in the valley. She was looking at Tabby, but he said she ain't his type. So I intercepted her gladly. From the first conversation, I knew this wasn't right. She talking about shopping sprees and about me changing her life. She said I need a first class flight, cause coach is for clowns. Where everything is black and white, boo. Hop on the Greyhound. Welcome to the world of D1. Reality's a fool. You used to pay dudes, I'm used to paying dues. But girl, we can't lose this summer. Bank account finna go from looking like a zip code to a phone number. So you tryna come along for the ride? She didn't even say bye. She hung up. Man, I seen that girl 7 months later, pregnant for an ex-NFL player. They both got
time for glasses on. Go ahead and blast this song. 1,000 count sheet. She said nobody ever lasts this long. Stronger than 10 men. Some ox shit. Security, they won't let me in. I'm on that block shit. Cut off Dickies and slip on Vans. The hat match the kicks. Too bad you with your man. We neck breaking. Check making. Tell your homie shut up. He might get his respect taken. I'm such a motherfucking spectacle. My track record impeccable. My audio delectable. So gangster and yet still respectable. Inner city ignorant and super intellectual. Well spoken, quite cosmopolitan. Foreign dignitaries, diplomats must acknowledge him. Steps too big to follow in. The three of us is going all in, so we gotta win.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Section 357 show. Guys, last call for alcohol or something like it. Final thoughts on the NFL and its promotional marketing muscle. Is it the NFL's fault? Is it all of the TV networks that are in bed with the league that kind of makes it this way? What are your final thoughts on the NFL and all that it does to get inside of our heads 24/7, 365? Sundee, what do you have to say about that?
My final thought, Floyd, isn't about the NFL. What it's more about is the NCAA. The SEC is the NFL of the NCAA. The SEC is on top right now. SEC, SEC, SEC. Good for y'all. Do not try and pull on Superman's cape, please. The SEC is talking about possibly playing some minor games on Sunday to compete with the NFL. Please don't do this shit. Please. Just stop it. don't want to go there. Pro football is on Sunday. College football is on Saturday. That's the way it is. That's the way it should be. Let it go.
L.A. Trey, what do you have, man?
I look at the NFL now, and I look at my old man. Look at my pops. He was the one that got me in the love for the NFL. And the way that we go about looking at the game is so differently now. My dad isn't about to jump on social network or check Twitter or any of that to find out how his favorite team is doing. He's old school with it. He still reads the paper. He still gets his stat line from whatever it is that's in the sports column. But he's still a diehard fan, just like I am. But it's a different type of diehard. And I'm saying this because my father is, in a sense, kind of like MySpace. It was a great little app. Not great little app, excuse me. It was a great little website that everybody tuned into and had a bunch of fun with. The NFL has now pushed their Facebook version via me and you guys of what the NFL is. It's a lot faster. You have to constantly connect. You're always curious as to what your friends know compared to what you know. And I think it's a great way of expanding the franchise and expanding the brand itself. It's going to have its growing pains, and it's going to fail, just like Facebook had its bumps. But overall, it is going to be probably the most popular sport in the world at some point, competing with soccer. And I know that's really early to say, but I see it as that because of its fast pace, because you don't have to have a lot of patience in order to understand the game, and its complexity on top of it as well. It's going to expand and blow up on the world scene, and we're all going to bear witness.
Last call for alcohol or something like it. Big Shot Ron, what did you have to say, sir?
My last call is to D. Maurice Smith and future NFL Players Association presidents and union leaders. I hope you're listening to this conversation, and more importantly, I hope you are paying attention. Because with all this expansion, global, 24-hour news cycle, your cut of the pie needs to get a lot bigger because you are the product itself. So pay attention and don't get run over by this machine. Guaranteed contracts, health benefits, needs to come back on the table pretty soon before we start talking about all this. So, D. Maurice Smith, Players Association, Players Union Leader, pay attention. Don't get run over.
Guys, my last call always goes out to the fans. But before I do that, I do want to at least mention the role of technology in this. Trey, you mentioned the world of social media and how that's expanded our perception of what goes on around the world, and in many cases brought us closer together to our friends all across the globe. So I do wonder how technology will play a role in this, from being able to stream games online to maybe even just some online-only networks that may end up being distribution channels for the NFL or just sports in general in a variety of contexts outside of ESPN and Fox and NBC. Just thinking about how YouTube has changed the game and thinking about other things outside of that, where there may be some really robust, independent online networks that could come online and really change how the NFL grows its brand around the globe. So with that being said, you can always carry this conversation on with us online on Twitter at Section 357. You can also subscribe to and download the show on Stitcher, on Podomatic, as well as iTunes. And with that being said, good luck to you and your favorite teams out there, wherever you might be. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. Until next time, take care.
Static Selector.
One of the few dogs that pulled through the mic, Vic
Fiasco. Yo, my fault, man, my fault.
One of the few dogs that pulled through the mic, Vic Fiasco. Heart of a lion with the strength straight out of Glasgow. Poo Janowski, Nola let the guns loose. Everybody smoking cigarettes and jumpsuits. Kosovo to the basement of your building. Terrible dead, the street golden, every villain. Cut them a deal, bet they let you bring them krills in.
No English kill man, kitchen knives concealed in. The staircase is where we earn the degree. For lawsuits on the fine flesh, feet in the feet. Light sees a cover skull, eyes are like the ocean blue. Stay fly, rock out, that's emotional.